This teaching is the second of a series of four, entitled A Brief Look at Elijah, delivered by the Reverend John W. Howe, rector of Truro Episcopal Church in Fairfax, Virginia. This teaching was presented at the Friday night prayer and praise service, held on June 26, 1981. The title is A Still Small Voice, and the scripture reference is 1 Kings 19.
Last week we took a look at 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18, and we want to pick up the story in chapter 19 this evening. You remember that Elijah lived around 850 B.C. Things had gone from bad to much worse in Israel. Jezebel was the queen and was really the power behind the throne. Her husband was named Ahab, King Ahab, but she really was calling the shots. And under her auspices, they had brought in prophets of Baal and Asherah, the male and female deities of the Canaanites, and actually institutionalized Baal worship right in the heart of Israel. And finally, Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal to a tremendous contest on Mount Carmel. And the contest was that we'll each pray to our God, and the God who answers by fire is the true God. You prepare your sacrifice, and I'll prepare mine. Lay it out on your altar, and I'll lay mine out on my altar, but don't light a fire under it. You ask your God to send down fire, and I'll ask my God to send down fire, and the God who answers by fire is God. And it was a tremendous contest, and Elijah won the day. Of course, God came through with a tremendous demonstration of his power. And then Elijah scuttled off the false prophets down to the brook Kidron, and Kishon, and they were killed there. They were put to death for their blasphemy, for their apostasy, for turning the whole country away from the Lord. And during all of that time leading up to the contest, there had been a drought and a famine because of it. Elijah, under orders from God, had prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And we understood that to be a kind of a parable of the spiritual barrenness that had come upon this people, that they had departed from God, who was their streams of living water, and they were spiritually in drought. And that finally became reflected in the very conditions, the physical conditions in which they lived. Well, this tremendous contest, and Elijah wins the day. And the people rise up and they proclaim, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And we ended our study last week by turning to the book of James, where it says, believe it or not, that Elijah was a man just like you and me. There was nothing unusual about Elijah. He was subject to the same weaknesses and infirmities that you and I are. Now, I don't know how that struck you, but I don't know when the last time was that you went up to the top of a mountain and challenged 850 prophets to a contest by fire and won, see? I mean, you might have done it, challenged him, but I don't know if you won, see? But I look at Elijah and I stand in awe of him. So what an incredible man. And yet James says he wasn't an incredible man. He was in touch with an incredible God. Well, we pick up the story in chapter 19, and we begin to see why James said he was a man just like you and I. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. You slew them, may the gods slay me if I don't slay you by tomorrow." See? Then he was afraid. The penny drops. Elijah was a man just like you, just like I. Then he was afraid. See, he could face 850 hostile prophets of Baal and Asherah, but one angry woman, and he was afraid. See? You understand why I told you last week he's my favorite Bible character. He arose and he went for his life and he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now. O Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's." See, when it's a spiritual contest, when it's strictly a spiritual contest, Elijah is confident in the Lord. But when it becomes a political matter, when Jezebel has the power of the sword, she represents the government, somehow Elijah's heart melts within him. And he says, "Who am I to think I'm any better than anybody else? My fathers couldn't face the sword and survive. Who am I to think I can?" You see, he's already forgotten the main lesson that he brought to the whole nation. It wasn't him, it was his God. But now the conditions have changed, and he wants to die. He wants not to have to face the terrible kind of death that she's going to inflict. "Lord, just take my life quietly." Some of you may know that the psychological studies that they've done on brainwashing have demonstrated that one of the keys to breaking a man under brainwashing is that somehow he girds himself up for this intense test. You know, they may go at it for 18 hours, 20 hours, 25 hours, and he doesn't crack. And they say, "Go back to your cell." And he goes back to his cell, and he sort of relaxes. And a half hour later, a guy comes in and asks him one question, and he collapses. Something like that is going on here. Elijah has girded himself up in the power of the Lord for this incredible battle, and it's over, and he wins the day. He prays, and the rains come, and then he lets down his guard in one woman's anger, and he just melts. He lay down and slept under a broom tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, else the journey will be too great for you." I'm interested in that. You just see the Lord's provision there. I don't want to make overly much of it, but the first time he comes to feed him, to replenish his strength for the incredible test that he's already gone through. He's been depleted, and he's being replenished. And then he sleeps again, and he comes a second time to store up for what lies ahead. The Lord covers what's past and prepares him for what's ahead. The angel of the Lord says, "You've got a journey to make. The Lord's not going to answer your prayer and take your life. He's got some more things for you, Elijah, and it's going to involve a journey. So eat again, get stored up for what lies ahead." And he rose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. That was some feast, huh? 40 days and 40 nights, and he didn't have to eat or drink again. Does anybody know where Horeb is? Another word for Horeb is Sinai. Is there anybody else that you can think of who went for a fast for 40 days and 40 nights? Jesus did, and there was somebody before him. A fellow by the name of Moses went up to a mountain called Sinai to meet with the Lord. The Lord gave Moses a commission to go and face Pharaoh, to demand liberation for God's people, to take them out of bondage, to go and be his people, to worship him. And you remember Moses' question? He said, "Who shall I say is commissioning me? You know, what is your name?" Do you remember God's answer to that?
"I am.
I am. I am that I am," or "I am who I am," which we transliterate from the Hebrew Yahweh, or Jehovah, YHWH, is as near as we can transliterate it over into English, and we're not exactly sure how it's pronounced. That's why maybe Yahweh, maybe Jehovah. But "who shall I say is sending me?" Literally, "I am." "I am" is sending you. My name is Jehovah. My name is Yahweh. That's who's sending you. Yahweh. Yahweh is the God who is sending you. That's the answer given to Moses on Mount Sinai. Have you worked out what the name Elijah means? Anybody? It comes from El, which is the Hebrew word for God. Eli, El. Jah, or Yah, the Lord. The name Elijah means the Lord is God. It's exactly the same message. Elijah's name and his ministry and his message are to declare once again to this same people who is now in a different kind of bondage exactly the same message that Moses was given to take to them in the first place. The Lord, I am, is God. Come and worship him. And that's what Elijah has taken to his people. And what do they say? The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. They're saying, Elijah, Elijah, the Lord, he is God. And now Elijah has forgotten his own name, you see. He's forgotten who God is, and he wants to die. And God says, I have a little journey for you to take, Elijah. I want to take you back to where it began. I want you to recapitulate the experience of Moses. That's really what's going on here. He's recapitulating the experience of Moses, and he starts with a fast of 40 days and 40 nights. He goes back to the very same mountain. And do you remember what it said when Moses went up on the mountain? God hid him in the cleft of a rock and covered his face with God's hand, lest he be overwhelmed with the splendor, the majesty of the Lord passing by in front of him. And so we read that Elijah went to Horeb, to Sinai, and there he came to a cave. What's a cave? It's a cleft in a rock. Now, I don't know this, but I just wonder if possibly it could have been the very same cave. And he lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Well, the Lord led him there. But why did the Lord have to lead him there? What's going on, Elijah? What are you doing, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel, have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Literally, the sound of a gentle stillness. The sound of a gentle stillness. It's so quiet, you can hear it. You can hear the silence. It's not a still, small voice, it's the sound of a gentle stillness. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle. The Lord covered Moses' face with his hand. Elijah wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said the same question again. What are you doing here, Elijah? Same answer again. I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel, have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Did you ever feel like you were the only one? Can anybody identify with that? You felt like you were absolutely alone. There was nobody who saw it quite the way you saw it. There was nobody who was standing in the gap with you. You were absolutely alone, and you were mighty lonely. I, even I only, am left. The Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphath of Abimeleho, somebody or others, you shall anoint to be the prophet in your place. Abel-Meholah, right? You got it? Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And him who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. Him who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. The Lord says, I know what it feels like, Elijah, but you're not alone. There are kings to be anointed. There are prophets to inherit your ministry. And there are 7,000 people who haven't compromised in any way. You're not alone. See, Elijah had just come through this incredible, dramatic, explosive demonstration that the Lord, He is God. That Yah is El, Elijah. But he needed to learn something much, much more subtle. You know, the Lord is not just out there in the tremendous big miracles. He's not out there just in the tremendous great conflicts. He's there in the sound of silence. He's there in the stillness. He's there when it feels like you're all alone. How many of you have trouble finding him in the stillness? Maybe you don't want to raise your hand. We look for him in the great things. We want to see the Lord striding in power. And sometimes we do, and it really encourages us. But the Lord would say, I want you to learn to find me in the still, small moments of your life. Get quiet enough. Don't just look for the dramatic things. But find me to be there in the stillness of your most mundane moments. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. In the quietness of your privacy. Griff gave thanks for Chuck Colson's message a couple of weeks ago. Chuck told a story, some of you may not have heard it, that when Alexander the Great was striding across the face of the nations, there was a young lieutenant in his army whose name also was Alexander. And this young lieutenant really wanted to go into battle and just was all primed for the first time that he would face sword play and rout the enemy. And the day came, and the first drawing of sword, he just panicked and fled, ran behind the lines. And as he's running behind the lines, one of the generals grabs him and sort of says, what in the world are you doing? And exactly that moment, Alexander the Great rides up on his horse. And he says to the general, what are you doing? And he said, this lieutenant is running away. He's running from the battle. And Alexander the Great says, what is your name? He says, Alexander. And Alexander the Great says, you've got two choices. Either learn to fight or change your name. Elijah, you've got two choices. Either learn to find me in the stillness of your privacy when it feels like you're alone, or change your name. Or change your name. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Let's bow our heads together. Father in heaven, we confess that you are doing mighty things in our world today. The arm of the Lord is not shortened. You're moving in power. Lord, we heard testimony tonight of a miracle of your healing. There have been others this week. Lord, we thank you that you're still in the miracle business. Lord, we thank you when you do the great and wondrous things that bring glory, public glory, to your name. We thank you, Lord, when you shake the heavens. We thank you, Lord, when you transform the circumstances of our lives, when you visit us in power, when you make right what's wrong. Lord, we would learn to to meet you in the stillness as well. Lord, we would get quiet enough to hear you speak. Lord, we'd ask you this night, right now, to be speaking to us in very personal ways. Lord, we would attune our ear to hear you, to be still, and know that you are God. Thank you, Lord, for all those around us who haven't compromised, who haven't bowed the knee to Baal, who would support us, and we them. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, Spirit of the living God, fall.